Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark LeVillier, with you for an hour of radio westerns. Later in this hour, a gripping story on Gunsmoke. But right now, it's Have Gun Will Travel, one of the few shows to start on television first, then get a radio adaptation. This episode with an original radio script called French Leave. From January 17, 1960 on CBS, John Daner stars.
I am not usually hired as a guide, Monsieur Poulard. But since you are unfamiliar with our western frontier, this is one trip I wouldn't want to miss.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Yes?
Mr. Paladin?
Ah, good morning, Miss Wong. Ah, come in.
Yes, I come by room many times. Knock on door, you not in.
What did you want, Miss Wong?
Oh, not me, Miss Wong, not want anything. It's him.
Him?
Him.
Who?
This man talks funny. He come look for you 1, 2, 3 times. He want to see you very bad. He talk funny, not plain like you and me.
Oh?
He here now, right outside door.
Well, then show him in.
Yes, you come now, Mr. Paladin, home.
Merci infiniment, merci.
Yes,
ah, bonsoir, Monsieur Paladin. Permit me to make your acquaintance. Je suis Jean-Jacques Poulard de la Sûreté Française.
Monsieur Poulard?
You see, Monsieur Paladin, talk funny.
Yes, Miss Moore.
What's going on? Have many of them?
Yes, thank you, Miss Wong. So, Monsieur Poulard, you're with the French Secret Service, hmm?
Oui, monsieur.
What can I do for you?
Monsieur Paladin, I need help.
What kind of help?
I need a guide.
A guide? Well, that's not exactly in my line.
Ah, monsieur, I search for a dangerous man. He has escaped from La Santé prison in Paris, and I have searched and searched, and now at last I know where he is.
Where?
In your Sierra Mountains.
Well, why don't you go get him?
No, monsieur, you do not understand. I am a city policeman. Paris, Marseille, London, New York. I trail my men in these places, and I am formidable, but... Your west, monsieur, the mountains, the wild animals, the Indians. I don't know about these things, monsieur.
Oh, do you want a guide or a bodyguard?
Perhaps both.
My services aren't cheap, Monsieur Poulard.
Ah, no, I am prepared to pay. The Sûreté understands these matters involve expense.
Very well, then. Let's say $1,000 in advance.
Oh, la la. That is, as you say, not cheap, but... D'accord. Very well. Now... How long will it take to assemble the expedition?
Expedition?
Bien sûr. One will need pack animals, I imagine, and native bearers.
We'll leave in the morning.
In the morning?
Yes, Monsieur Poulard, at dawn. Just the two of us.
Monsieur, I thought...
Monsieur Poulard, what does your name mean in English?
Poulard? Chicken?
That's what I thought. See you in the morning. Monsieur Poulard.
Oui, monsieur.
This man you're looking for, what's his name?
Marius.
Yeah. Who is he, this Marius? How many men has he murdered?
Oh, we are not positive that he has murdered any, but we suspect him of many.
But what has he done?
He escaped from La Santé prison in Paris, and no one escapes from La Santé.
But he did, huh?
And therefore, monsieur, he must be returned. It is a matter of the honor of the Sûreté.
Seems like a lot of trouble to go to.
Oh, the honor of the Sûreté must be upheld at all costs.
Oh, yes, I see. Well, what makes you so sure this Marius is up there in the Sierra?
Oh, Monsieur Paladin, we French criminologists follow a very useful and profound principle.
Oh, what's that?
Cherchez la femme.
Ah, yes. Find the woman, yeah.
Oui, and I found her in Paris. She had come home after making a small but adequate fortune out here in your West, entertaining. Monique had seen my man.
Monique? You mean Monique Lafleur?
Bien sûr. Did you know her?
Oh, very well.
Oh, la 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 la. Ah, charmante, n'est-ce pas?
Charming? Yes, I guess that would cover it. It was a crazy kind of a job. But I was never a man to argue with $1,000, particularly when it involved no apparent risks. So we spent a pleasant afternoon riding along, reminiscing about our mutual friend, Monique Lafleur. That night, we stopped in Hangtown, where I introduced my employer to the dish for which the town is so famous.
What do you call this?
That's Hangtown Fry. You like it?
Oh, Monsieur Paladin, I am torn between honesty and politeness.
Well, then, Monsieur Poulard, by all means, be honest.
Eh bien, c'est exécrable, effroyable, et dégoûtant.
You don't like it, then?
Oh, no, barbarous.
Here he is, Red. The little one with the pointy mustache. He looks like a Frenchie. He talks like a Frenchie.
How about it? You a Frenchman?
Oui, monsieur, I am.
And who are you?
They call me Big Red, and I'm here to tell you Frenchies ain't welcome in Hangtown.
We're just passing through.
Well, I'm thinking you're going to pass through real fast. How about it, boys? We don't take kindly to having our women stolen. Last Frenchie come through here made off with my girlfriend. I've been laying for him ever since.
Yeah, but this is a different Frenchman.
Makes no difference. He's a Frenchman.
Very well. If this is an example of Hangtown's hospitality, we'll be on our way.
I'll see you will. Skag?
Yeah, Red.
Go heat up that kettle of tar behind the livery stable.
Sure thing.
And a couple more of you rip up some feather beds. You're going to be on your way, Frenchie, on a rail.
Oh, wait a minute. This Frenchman who ran off with your girl, what was his name?
I don't know. Everybody just called him Frenchie.
Well, was it Marius, by any chance?
Well, yeah, come to think of it, I did hear Lola call him that. Marius, honey, she said, a filthy Frenchman.
Well, then we have no cause for argument. My companion is from the French Secret Service. He's on his way to arrest this Marius.
Yeah, well, he's got to find him first.
Oh, he will.
Good. When he does find him, he can show him his tar and feathers.
Yeah. Well, I'm afraid we can't wait for the party, Big Red. All right, now stand back, all of you. With your hands in the air.
No, no, wait a minute.
You heard me. Stand back. All right, Monsieur Poulain, outside. Get our horses unhitched.
Oui, Paladin, tout de suite.
And the rest of you stay where you are until we're out of town. Now, I'll shoot the first man comes through this door.
Here is your horse, Paladin.
Good. Now, as you say in your country, let's ficher le camp.
Constipation can be a problem for anyone, even doctors. And when constipation occurs, it's interesting to see just what doctors consider important about a laxative they might use or recommend. Well, a majority of the doctors we heard from had this to say. A laxative should be effective, gentle, as close to natural acting as possible, and a medicine that can be used with complete confidence. Now, Ex-Lax has been popular with many doctors and millions of people over the years because chocolate at Ex-Lax is effective. Overnight, it helps you toward your normal regularity. Ex-Lax is gentle. Next morning, it gives you the closest thing to natural action. And that's why many doctors and millions of people use Ex-Lax with complete confidence. Ex-Lax, the laxative that helps you toward your normal regularity gently. Overnight.
Is Ex-Lax in your medicine cabinet?
On a bright night, you can see your way by the stars in the Motherlode country. We took advantage of this ghostly illumination to put a number of prudent miles between ourselves and the vengeful and unreasonable citizens of Hangtown. At last, we pulled up on the banks of a little stream and made a cold and cheerless camp. The next morning, the sun was up first. Then, quite a bit later, I got up. The little Frenchman was still curled up in a pitiful ball, twitching from time to time with nightmares of tar and feathers. I looked around and saw a bearded, red-shirted miner working his way up the stream, panning the river sand for gold. Hey, Monsieur Poulard. Come on, time to get up. Come on.
Suis-je... bonjour, Paladin.
Sleep well?
Oh, please, do not mention it. I don't think I can ever move my arms and legs again.
We have company.
Oh? Howdy.
Hello. Say, we're a little uncertain of our whereabouts, friend. Could you tell us where we are?
Well, this here's what used to be called South Fork, but folks have begun calling it Frenchman's Creek. Downstream, quite a fair piece, is civilization.
Civilization?
Yep. Settlement called Hangtown.
Oh, yes, we're acquainted with Hangtown, but what's upstream?
Nothing much. A few abandoned gold camps. Creek's panned out, more or less. But I keep hoping I'll find something the others missed.
You said folks have started calling the stream Frenchman's Creek?
That's right.
Why?
Kind of crazy Frenchman lives up to the head of it.
Yeah, Frenchman? What is his name?
I don't know. Everybody just calls him the Frenchman.
What's crazy about him?
Well, he's got a claim staked up there. A couple of claims. Only he don't do no mining that anyone can notice. Got a place all fenced in, a big gate with foreign words on the sign. Only two words in English. They say, keep out.
Well, how far is this place?
Well, it's a pesky place to get to. It'll take you the better part of a day following the stream. Of course, the stream winds a lot. You could go over the mountain that-a-way.
Yeah, well, how long would it take that-a-way?
Better part of the day.
Well, then it's no shorter.
Nope, but you don't get wet.
We went over the mountain, and it did take the better part of the day. Towards sundown, we came back once more to Frenchman's Creek, and there below us lay a well-built cabin surrounded by cleared land. We spurred our tired horses toward it, and a few moments later, drew up before a rail gate on which hung the imposing keep-out sign the miner had told us about.
Marias must have put up that sign. His guilty conscience is haunting him.
Perhaps. Well, should we go in?
Paladin, I am tired and I am hungry and I am unafraid of this Marius. Come, we go in.
Come on, boy, move. Get in.
Stop!
What, clerk?
Put your hands in the air. I will relieve you of your weapons, messieurs. Throw them to the guard. Eh bien. Is it that you cannot read my sign?
We read it.
You made no effort to hide yourselves. I have watched your approach since you started down the mountain.
We have nothing to hide, but it appears that you do.
You are hiding your little derringer, Monsieur Paladin. Give it to me.
Well, how did you know me?
Your derringer, please.
Here.
Merci. We have a mutual friend, Monsieur Paladin. Monique Lafleur.
Oh, yes, Monique.
She pointed you out to me once in San Francisco.
And she told you about the derringer.
It was indiscreet of you, monsieur, and dangerous to reveal to her the whereabouts of the derringer.
Under the circumstances, there was nothing else I could do.
Naturellement, of course. Eh bien, messieurs, you will proceed to the house. I will be right behind you with a gun pointed at your backs. Proceed!
Paladin?
Huh?
This is Marius. Black hair, black mustache, scar over the right eye.
And a pal of Monique's. It's Marius, all right.
I shall ask him. Hey, monsieur.
Oui.
Appelez-vous Marius?
Marius. Qui est Marius? Tiens, you are French, monsieur,
I am French.
Then you must be Jean-Jacques Poulard of the Sûreté Française.
I am, but how did you know?
Monique wrote me you were looking for me. Monique is a friend.
Everybody's friend, it seems.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too. So listen, today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner.
Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone.
All right. Oh,
oh. Boy.
Yeah, we are here. This is Shea Marius. You may dismount, gentlemen. You will stay to dinner, no?
Yes.
Oh, we'd be delighted, as we seem to have no choice.
Very settled. I shall tell my wife. Come with me. Enter, please, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Merci, monsieur.
Chérie, viens-toi ici. Ah, ma petite chou, we have guests for dinner. Messieurs, this is Madame Marius.
Oh, howdy, boys.
How do you do?
Enchanté, madame.
Hey, your first name wouldn't be Lola, would it?
Yeah, that's right.
We met an old friend of yours in Hangtown last night, Big Red.
Oh, is he still sore I ran out on him?
He is.
Poor slob. He never had what Marius has. What's more, Marius married me.
And taught you to cook. Come, de pêche toi, I guess I'm hungry.
Oui, cherry, too sweet.
A jewel of a woman, monsieur, a prize beyond price. But she speaks lousy French.
Some more coffee, Monsieur?
No, no, thank you. It was an excellent dinner, superb.
No, not since I left Paris have I eaten so well.
Oh, thank you, Monsieur.
Imagine to find escargot in this wilderness.
They are not quite as fine as our snail de Bourgogne, but they fatten well on my vine leaves.
You have a vineyard?
Oh, yes. I shall make my own wine in another year.
And this fromage de chèvre?
From my own herd of goats.
Ah.
Oh, yes, my friend, we live well here.
I regret that I must take you away from all this.
But you are not going to.
I must. I have a warrant for your arrest.
And you have no guns.
But don't you see, I cannot return to Paris without you. It would be a disgrace to me, to the Sûreté.
Quel dommage.
Oui, you see the position you place me in?
Regrettable. But consider the position of France.
In what way?
If you insist on being obstinate, you can ruin France.
Impossible.
No, listen a moment. You insist on arresting me. I refuse.
Oui.
You demand that the American authorities extradite me. I refuse. The American authorities recognize my rights to freedom from persecution. You return to Paris and report this to the Sûreté.
Uh-huh.
The Sûreté brings it before the National Assembly. The Paris newspapers make it a cause célèbre. France has been insulted, the headlines scream. War is declared.
Oh.
A French fleet sails to invade the United States. It is repulsed at great loss at Washington, New York, and Boston.
Oh, you...
The flower of French manhood falls upon the Atlantic beaches. France is defeated and forced to pay huge indemnities, which weaken her economically until she sinks to the position of a second-class nation, thus unhinging the balance of power in the Grand Alliance and exposing Europe to such dangers of general war that the mind reels at the prospect and at last refuses to look upon the chaos it portends.
Oh, no, no.
Are you willing, Monsieur Poulard, to be responsible for such a course of events?
No. No, I cannot accept such a responsibility.
Of course you cannot. You must think of France.
Yes, I am. I shall never see her again. I shall become an exile in this savage country where they fry oysters and eggs together.
No. That far I cannot go. I will not condemn a Frenchman to that fate.
What else is there for me?
Stay here with Madame and me. Help me tend the vines and herd the goats and raise the chickens and the snails. Can you think of a nobler activity than growing good things for the table?
Oh, only sitting down at the table and eating them, monsieur.
So that's how I left him the next morning, hey boy. feeding vine leaves to snails.
Snails? Yuck! Oh, no likey. Why Frenchman eat snails when he can eat good things like bird's nest soup and sharky fin?
Well, you know what the old lady said when she kissed the pig.
Oh, roast pig good, too. Hey, what'd she say?
Chacun a son goût.
Oh, you talk funny. What that mean?
That means, hey boy, everyone to his own taste.
Oh, Esau. Oh, nearly forgetting. Lady looking for you while you've been away.
Oh, lady?
Yes, lady talk funny, too, like you just now.
Oh, no. Hey, boy, was her name Monique?
Yes, Monique Flower. Oh. She come back this afternoon.
I won't be here. Just tell her to, Hey, boy, tell her to follow Frenchman's Creek east of Hangtown.
Esau?
Over the mountains for the better part of a day.
For your... Who?
She'll find what she's looking for.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed in Hollywood by Frank Paris. And stars John Daner as Paladin, with Ben Wright as Hayboy and Virginia Gregg as Miss Wong. Tonight's story was specially written for Have Gun, Will Travel by William N. Robeson. Featured in the cast were Shirley Mitchell, Harry Bartell, Barney Phillips, and Marvin Miller. This is Hugh Douglas inviting you to join us again next week when CBS Radio presents Have Gun, Will Travel.
Have Gun, Will Travel, on Tuned 2 yesterday from the 17th of January, 1960, on CBS. It's an hour of radio westerns on Tuned 2 yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now time for Gunsmoke, with a script repurposed for the television series a bit better than 2 years after its original radio airing. The story is by John Meston, called Hack Prime, from July 5th, 1954, on CBS, with William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. William Conrad, the transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Thank you.
was a long ride from Dodge up to Ponca Creek in the Dakota Territory, and I killed a good horse getting there. But I caught Lee Trumbull. He was asleep in a clump of willow, and I took him without a fight. We rode his horse double into Sioux Falls, but we came the rest of the way back to Dodge in style, by stagecoach. At least I thought we were traveling in style. Lee didn't seem to care much for it. In fact, he wouldn't even talk until the stage pulled into Dodge and drove up Front Street toward the plaza.
You're making a bad mistake, Marshal.
Is that so?
I didn't kill anybody.
There are two witnesses say you did, Lee.
They're lying.
Then why did you run?
My brother Dolph, he said you was after me. That's why I run.
You'll get a trial. You can talk about it then.
I ain't gonna stand trial, Marshal. Dolph will get me out of jail before that.
Is that so? I never figured Dolph is a man to do much of anything.
You've been against us Trumbulls ever since we come to Dodge, ain't you, Marshal?
Yeah, I have. Neither one of you is any good.
See what I mean?
Yeah, there's your brother Dolph now, waiting to welcome you back.
Well, how'd he know I was coming?
I wired Chester from Sioux Falls a week ago.
Is that bandy like a deputy of yours?
His mail.
Chester's not my deputy.
Well, he sure acts like it.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he? No.
Here we are.
You got my brother in there, Marshal?
Come on out, Lee.
You're going to be sorry for this.
Yeah, that's what Lee's been telling me. Come on, Lee, get on out of there.
I'm coming, Marshal, I'm coming. Shoot him, Dolph.
Don't look at me, Marshal. I didn't even draw.
No. No, you didn't, did you, Dolph?
You didn't have to kick him like that. You hurt him.
He'll get his wind back.
I got him covered, Mr. Dillon.
Hello, Chester.
Don't you try nothing like that again, Lee.
It's all right, Chester. The fight's out of him.
You want me to take Dolph's gun?
Now, that's funny. I keep forgetting. You do wear a gun, don't you, Dolph?
There's nothing wrong with wearing a gun, Marshal.
There is the way you wear one.
What do you mean?
Well, you might run into somebody who doesn't know you're afraid to use it, and he might shoot you before he found that out.
You calling me a coward, Marshal?
Now, Chester.
Yes, sir?
I'm going over to the office. When Lee here stops groaning, herd him over and lock him up, will you?
Okay, sir.
And if Dolph gives you any trouble, shoot him.
Now, Marshal.
Get going, Dolph. Go on, move.
You'll be sorry for this. I'll make you sorry for it.
Oh, say, there's a fellow waiting for you over at the office, Mr. Dillon. He's a stranger to me, but he wanted to see you.
All right, Chester.
Oh, by the way, welcome back.
Thanks.
It's been most a month you've been gone. We sure did miss you here.
Now, there were times when I missed being here, Chester. Don't let Lee get away from you now, huh? I'd hate to make that ride all over again.
No, sir, I won't. Oh, I sure won't. Oh, stop breathing like that, Lee, and get on your feet. You ain't hurt. Come on. Get up here. Let me alone.
Well.
Hello, Matt.
Hack Prine, how are you?
Good to see you, Matt. You're surprised to see me alive, huh, Matt?
Why, Hack, it's been at least 10 years, hasn't it?
Man ain't born that could kill me. Leastways, I ain't run into him yet.
Well, maybe you're just lucky.
Luckier than you, anyways. A lot luckier sometimes, the way I recall it.
Now, you're thinking about Santa Fe, huh?
Yeah. You wasn't very lucky that day, Matt. Hey, remember how it was? You backed into a corner with nothing but a beer bottle in your hand and three of John Chisholm's drunk cowboys about to empty their guns into you.
Yeah, yeah. And then you walked in and killed every one of them.
Yeah. It was real surprised, wasn't it, Matt?
John Chisholm's been after you ever since, hasn't he, Hack?
Oh, them was just the first of Chisholm's men I've killed, Matt. Been riding with Billy the Kid till about half a year ago.
Oh? Why'd you quit?
Never could make out if Billy was working for or against Chisholm. Besides, didn't pay enough. Oh, but you're the one, Matt. If when I got to Dodge last night heard you was U.S. Marshal here, I just didn't believe it.
Well, being a marshal isn't that hard a job.
Oh, you can handle it all right, I know that. What I mean is, it's kind of sudden. Find a man you used to know being a U.S. Marshal.
Well, I got to earn my keep somehow.
Oh, sure, sure.
Well, what are you doing at Dodge, anyway?
I don't know, Matt. I don't know yet. I've been over to Wagon Bed Springs, stretching my legs, sleeping in a bed, doing a little gambling and the like.
Yeah.
Some fella here sent for me. I ain't seen him yet, but if it's a job he's got, I sure need the money.
Well, good luck with it, Hack. We'll get together later and have a drink. Yeah,
straight ahead, Lee. I see that door there. The cell's out there.
What's this?
Just a prisoner.
What'd he do?
I didn't do nothing. Shut up and keep walking, Lee.
What you locking him up for, man?
Murder.
That's bad. That's real bad.
Murder's always bad.
I don't mean that. I mean locking a man up. I couldn't stand that, Matt. I never been in jail. I never ain't gonna be.
Well, then you better stay sober around here, Hack.
And you're taking it back about that drink.
Oh, no. No. You'll be safe as long as you're with me.
Oh. I don't know, Matt. I've been around you when it wasn't so safe. I'll see you later.
Yeah, sure, Hack.
Oh. Hey, come on in, mister. I'm leaving. So long, Matt.
So long, Hack.
Marshal Dillon?
Hello, Ole. How are you?
Marshal, I got something I got to tell you. It's my duty the way I see it.
Oh, what's the trouble?
Hello, Ole. What you doing here?
Well, I come to tell the marshal something, Chester, but I sure don't like informing on people. You understand me, Marshal?
Well, what's it about, Ole?
Dolph Trumbo, that's what. You got his brother Lee in jail here.
We sure have. I just locked him up myself.
Well, Dolph's coming to get him out. He's over at the Alfraganza right now talking it up.
Talking what up?
Well, there's some men at the bar there, Marshal. And Dolph's buying them drinks and telling them his brother's plumb innocent. And they got to raid the jail here and get him out.
You mean he's forming a mob?
That's what he's doing. And I don't like it. There's going to be trouble, sure.
Oh, Lee, thanks very much for telling me this. But don't worry about the trouble. I'll put a stop to that right now. Come on, Chester.
Yes, sir. Do something stupid like this, Mr. Dillon? Trying to form a mob to take his brother out of jail. How?
Well, it works sometimes, Chester.
Not in Dodge, it don't.
Oh, not so far, anyway. Here's the Alfraganza. Now, don't get in the way.
No, sir.
You're right, Bob.
And something else. There's nothing to be afraid of, you men. You'll be led by one of the best gunmen in the whole country. I promise you that. And we'll have justice in Dodge. Once and for all. Justice. That.
What do you want, Marshal? What are you doing here? Ole told you, I seen him sneak out. I just been talking, Marshal. No harm in talking, is there? Lee's innocent anyway. He shouldn't be in jail. And I'm going to get him out, too. These men here, they're all with me. And we're going...
Quiet. Bartender, this place is closed for the rest of the day. No more liquor. And you men get out of here and don't let me find any of you together again. Not for a long time. Now get moving. ¶¶
Oh, here, Chester. I'll pay for the beer.
You leaving, Mr. Dillon?
Oh, Kitty just came downstairs. I haven't seen her yet. I think I'll go over and say hello.
Yes, sir. Like for me to go across the street and see if they're keeping the Alifraganza closed?
No, it's all right. I told them they could open up again tonight.
Oh, well, thanks for the beer, Mr. Dillon.
Sure, Chester, sure.
Welcome to Dodge, stranger.
How are you, Kitty?
Fine. I'd be even better if you'd brought two beers over instead of one. But you can sit down anyway.
Well, you can take this one, Kitty. It's kind of warm. I don't want it.
Matt, do you suppose the day will ever come when having good manners will be a requirement for the marshal's office?
Well, if it ever does, Kitty, I don't guess they'll need marshals anymore.
Yeah, maybe you're right at that.
Well, how have you been, huh? Everything okay?
Well, I was making out pretty good, Matt, till I broke my toe.
Broke your toe?
Yep.
How'd you do that?
In the line of duty, right here in this saloon. I got tromped on dancing with a Texas cowboy who should have been spending his trail money on red silk handkerchiefs and soda water instead of me. He couldn't have been over 16. Darn fool kid.
There's not much you can do for a broken toe, is there?
No. At least it doesn't hurt when I'm sitting down. I hear you broke up Dolph Trumbo's party at the Alifraganza this afternoon.
Oh?
Huh?
You hear just about everything, don't you, Kitty?
Men. They talk more than women. This place is full of men, day and night. You think if I closed my eyes and prayed real hard, they'd all go away?
Well, if they did, what would you do for a living?
That'll keep me awake. Say, there's your friend Dolph now. Just came in.
Huh?
There's a stranger with him, Matt.
Well, I'll be.
What's the matter? Who is he?
He's a gunman, Kitty.
That's so?
Yeah. I guess he's about the handiest man with a gun that ever hit Dodge.
So Dolph's gone and hired him a gunman. Who is he, anyway? What's his name?
He's a friend of mine, Kitty.
A friend of yours?
Yeah, a good friend. He saved my life once. But now I guess he's going to try to get it back. His name's Prine. Hack Prine. The government never did pay me much for enforcing the law in Dodge, but even if they doubled it, there were times when I'd like to acquit. I sat there with Kitty and watched the two men at the bar. They had a drink, then they shook hands, and then Hack walked out. I got up, and I followed him. Yeah, Hack.
What for?
Where are you staying?
Dodge House.
Huh?
Got a room.
I'd like to talk to you.
Street'll do.
Okay. Dolph was trying to form a mob this afternoon, Hack. He wanted to raid his brother out of jail.
I heard about it.
When I went to break it up, I heard him saying they'd be led by one of the best gunmen in the country. Now, that wouldn't be Dolph himself.
No. He's afraid of guns.
He meant you, didn't he, Hack?
I hadn't talked to him yet. He was just guessing I'd come in.
And you have?
Not with no mob. I told him that. I don't work with mobs. You should have known better than to say that.
Well, how do you work, Hack?
Alone, by myself. I'm a pretty good gunman, Matt.
Yeah, I know. It saved my life once, your being a good gunman.
Yeah. Matt, turn his brother loose. I get paid if you do.
Look, Hack. Lee Trumbo murdered a man. He's going to stand trial for it.
I don't get paid if he stands trial.
But you get paid for shooting me?
That's what Dolph said. That was his deal.
Well?
Well, they tell me you're better with a gun you used to be, Matt.
Hack, I don't want to fight you.
Afraid, Matt? How'd you get to be marshal, anyways?
It's a job. I took it.
Well, I've been offered a job, too, and I took it.
Yeah, but you had better jobs, Heck.
Well, it's been bothering me some, Matt. I took an awful chance saving your life once. Now I got to take another to kill you. That don't make much sense, does it?
Look, Heck, why don't you forget it, huh? Go on back to Wagon Bed Springs. I'll lend you some money to see you through.
No, home. It ain't that easy, Matt. I back out on this, the word will get around. Nobody will hire me for nothing no more. My reputation won't be worth crowbait.
Did Billy the Kid pay you to kill men?
Of course not. Of course not. That was for pleasure. You know how I hate John Chisholm.
Then you come down a long way, Heck. Selling your gun.
I killed a man for pay over to La Junta. Didn't bother me none.
Who was he?
I don't know. Some gambler. Pretty good gunman, though.
Tell me something, Hack. Did Dolph say how his brother murdered that man here?
Dolph claims he didn't do it at all.
Well, there were two witnesses who saw him do it. The man was a buffalo skinner, unarmed. He didn't even have a knife on him. But he refused to buy Lee Trumbo a drink, so Lee shot him.
Unarmed?
That's right.
Shot an unarmed man?
You think it over, Hack. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. A man like Hack Prine had his own peculiar sense of honor. The idea of shooting me seemed to bother him less than the fact that Lee Trumbull had killed an unarmed man. Later that night, I heard he'd been seen having an argument with Dolph. So I figured I'd won. But another killing in Dodge, either me or Hack, had been avoided. Until early next morning, word came that a man had been shot at the Dodge house. I sent Chester on over while I went up and got Doc Adams.
How do you know the man isn't already dead, Matt?
I don't know, Doc.
Well, it doesn't matter. I'll probably make more money off of him dead than alive.
Oh?
Well, I get paid for autopsies, don't I?
Sure.
Yeah, but just try to collect for the ones I keep alive. Just you try it.
And I'm glad I don't have to, Doc, but I still notice you buy a new buggy every spring.
Oh, yes, and wear it out before, racing across the prairie, delivering babies, setting bones, digging out bullets, delivering babies.
Well, exercise keeps a man young, Doc.
Yeah, it's a good thing I don't depend on sympathy to keep me young.
Ah, here we are.
Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon,
Oh, hello, Doc. Where is he, Chester?
In that room right there, number 12. And you know who it is? It's Ole.
Ole?
Yes, sir. And Hack Prine shot him.
What?
It's Hack's room, Mr. Dillon. He did it all right.
Well, let's take a look. Where's Hack now, Chester?
I don't know, sir. Nobody's seen him for the past hour. I kept everybody out of the room, Mr. Dillon. All right, now stand aside here, boys. Let the marshal and Doc through. Come on now, Dillon. Let him.
Let me through. Let me through here. It's Ole, all right. He's dead, Matt. Real dead. 3-4 hours, probably.
Nobody heard a shot or nothing, Mr. Dillon. But when the clerk come on duty about an hour ago, he saw Hack Prine walk out of here.
Why anybody would want to kill poor little Ole, I do not understand.
I'll bet I know, Mr. Dillon.
What, Chester?
You didn't talk Hack out of trying to kill you, after all. He went back to Dolph last night and told him he'd take the job. Then he figured the only way to get you into a fight was to shoot somebody so you'd have to come after him.
Yeah, maybe. Now, come on, let's start looking for him.
I guess the Oliver Gans is the only place we haven't looked in, Mr. Dillon. He's got to be there, unless maybe he's going to try to bushwhack you.
Hack may be a paid killer, Chester, but he always faces man head on.
Yes, sir. That come right from the Alphaganza.
Yeah.
Mr. Dillon, there's Hack. He's coming out.
Yeah. All right, get off the street, Chester.
Yes, sir.
Morning, Matt.
Hello, Hack.
Just killed a man in that saloon there.
Dolph Trumbo?
I killed him. I gave him a chance, but he wouldn't draw. I killed him anyways.
That's too bad, Hack.
Ain't no man gonna frame me.
I never thought you killed Ole, but I wanted to hear you say so.
How'd you know I didn't do it?
Well, it wouldn't be your style to kill a defenseless little fellow like that, would it?
Of course not.
So while you were out gambling last night, Dolph killed him and dumped him in your room.
I found him there, and then I went after Dolph. Ain't no man can do that to me.
Hack, according to the law, you murdered Dolph. I'm going to have to arrest you.
What?
You're going to have to stand trial for it.
Oh, no, Matt. No, sir, I ain't going to jail. Not me, Matt. Never.
I'm a lawman, Hack. I got to arrest you.
Matt, I told Dolph last night I wasn't going to take his job. I told him I was going to leave town.
You're under arrest, Hack.
All right. I guess you've got to do it. Let's go for it, Matt.
No, Hack, no.
Let's see what happens.
Hack. Hack.
Oh, you're sure good, Matt. You're awful good.
Yeah.
Better this way, Matt, than getting paid to fight you.
Sure. Sure it is.
There weren't no reason to fight you. Not that way. I can't see you no more, Matt. It's like being underwater. I can't see nothing.
Dillon, that was awful good shooting. I never seen nothing as fast as that in my whole life. My, I'll bet he didn't know what hit him. The way he spun around there when you... Mr. Dillon? Mr. Dillon, what's the matter? Mr. Dillon? My...
Gunsmoke, transcribed under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Vic Perrin, John Daner, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. To listen to Dragnet, the story of your police force in action, tomorrow night, Tuesday, on another network. Next week at this same time, Chesterfield will bring you another story of the Old West on Gunsmoke. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from July 5th, 1954 on CBS. That story by John Meston, Hack Prine, would be used again on the television series on April 28th, 1956. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.